shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Katie Nordman.
And I'm Chris Jeppa.
We're just chilling today.
It's mid-September and we don't have a guest.
And I really should be back in school. No, I don't want to go back to school. It's expensive.
I know. It does feel like it's the time when we should all be starting new projects and new whatever. It's our kind of our Sea Hags 2-year anniversary from its inception, which
yeah.
is pretty cool. So we thought we'd
have
just a Katie and Chris catch-up
day. Just a Katie and Chris catch-up day, and I'm hungover, as I have been a lot lately. Whoops.
You've been having, your dirtbag summer has revved into dirtbag fall.
I think I just got, everybody else is like, oh, sober September. I'm like, well, I'll drink all the drinks you're not drinking.
That's how that works, for sure.
That's how, I've been very good about not drinking during the week, and so I've been going a little ham on the weekends, and I'm pretty
ham
sure.
For him.
Ham for ham. I'm pretty sure that I will stop doing that soonish because now I'm getting bad hangovers again.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I went and did cook-off last night. Our Ooh. Past guest, Jen Clark, talked about doing vegan cook-offs, and I finally went to cook-off.
Nice.
It was fantastic. I drank a lot of wine and ate a lot of little small plates of vegan treats. It was really, really cool. It was just as was foretold.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully you can come to the next one.
Sounded goddamn delicious.
Yeah.
I really liked you.
It was, the theme was fusion, and the winner was a Mapua Tofu Cincinnati Chili.
Nice.
On top of spaghetti, all covered in goo.
That's so many different fusions together.
It was, because, yeah, I mean, is spaghetti Italian, is spaghetti American, is spaghetti Chinese? We don't know.
Yeah.
It's everything.
But, like, there's also chili in there, too,
yeah.
and tofu, so it's like, what?
What? Yeah, it was high concept, and it was very delicious. It was up there with definitely restaurant-grade Mapua Tofu.
Nice.
So it was really, and we found out that what that means is spotted grandmother. I wonder if Liang was maybe fucking with us, because I have no way to verify that, because I don't have a grandmother spotted or otherwise, and I am not Chinese-speaking in any capacity. So I think that if I was, you know, a person who spoke a language that nobody else in the room did, I would definitely want to mess with them. But I don't know her very well, so. Anyway, it was a lot of fun.
That sounds lovely. Friends and food.
I have a cava headache, so.
What's cava?
It's just like sparkling wine.
Oh,
it's very dry
yeah.
from Spain.
Right.
From a Spain.
I thought, like, the coffee thing. What's
Mm-mm.
that?
No, that's cava cava. But it's, yeah, it's pretty much says, it's exactly the same word when you say it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's spelled with a K.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I've had that too. It's a very different flavor. Tastes awful. It's the worst tasting thing, cava cava, with the K, the
what,
root.
What is it supposed to be? It's like a...
It's like a relaxation beverage, basically. I don't exactly know what the chemical makeup of it is, but you...
Come on, give me the formula. What the fuck,
Give me
Katie?
The formula! You blend it up in a blender with some water and ginger or something like that, because it really does taste dreadful. Some people would probably disagree with me and say, no, it's good, but it's...
That's what I say about the green smoothies I make.
They smell very bad. I don't know how they taste. But, no, the cava cava, it tastes sort of like burny, melty flavor. It's just like it makes your mouth go numb.
Ooh.
And it tastes like medicine. It's yucky, but it does make you feel great.
Hmm.
Like, it makes me feel very chill.
But at what cost?
You can buy it in pill form, too, so you don't have to taste it, which is... But then you burp the taste, and it's really gross. But anyway, yeah, but the cava is just sparkling, dry, white wine.
Yeah, see, that's a relaxation beverage to me.
It is, but I don't know, for some reason, it tastes like there's very little sugar in it, but there must be a ton, because
yeah.
I just end up with such a headache whenever I drink it.
I think, sparkling wine headaches are pretty typical.
I just love being bad so much. I love being bad. And there was a super cute kid at this party last night, and I was having that moment of, oh, a cute kid. Maybe I'd have one. And then I just realized, oh, no, you just have them all the time, not just when they're being cute.
Yeah. And then you wouldn't get to go out and, like, drink sparkling
Too much
wine
sparkling
all
Sparkling
night.
Wine, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'd have to be a responsible parent. I was like, no! But right now, I would probably feel better if I had been a responsible parent last night. There, we learn lessons, or no, we don't.
Yeah. I've had a chill-ish weekend with lots of early nights and getting up early. And I forgot to set an alarm this morning, but I woke up immediately at 7:30, just which was the time that I had set an alarm for, which is great because I had to work. So that was extremely fortunate.
Fortuitous.
Yeah. Thanks, body. Thanks. I just had stress dreams all night.
Thanks for routine.
Yeah.
Oh, stress dreams.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm having a little bit of a personal,
just
stress time.
Just feeling a little overwhelmed with changes.
Yeah, but that's okay. Yeah. I had a really nice weekend last weekend.
Yeah, you went and toasted your buns.
Yeah, I went to Rec Beach and it was great. Presumably the last Rec Beach of the summer, although today was like hot enough that I totally could have gone to Rec Beach.
Could have.
But we had to do this thing.
We had to do this stupid thing.
Just kidding, I love it and I love you.
I love you too. It's still stupid.
Who said we had to do it every week? Oh, we did?
We did. Yeah, well, we didn't record last weekend, so it's like we actually have things to catch up about this time.
You mean you have to go and like live life in order to make art, man?
Yeah, man.
This is art.
Yeah, this is definitely art. This is definitely not art. So you went to Rec Beach last Saturday.
I did, and it was the first time that I've ever gone with my partner. Mm-hmm. And I guess he had gone, like, when he was younger and stuff like that, but not for a long time. And I was always inviting him to come with me and then other friends, and he was just like, no, I don't want to
be naked with people I know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so then this relatable. Time we just went by ourselves and... Yeah, just hung out in the nude in the sun and...
Just rude nude dudes.
Yeah, went swimming. And then I laughed because he, you know, got a little bit chillier and...
So he's put a shirt on.
He became a shirt cocker. He became a rugby shirt cocker. Just a t-shirt and no pants.
He's not ashamed.
No, and he was like, this is great and extremely practical. I totally understand why they do that. I'm like, wow, you fucking assimilated quick.
Yeah. Pretty soon he'll just be selling sarongs down there. But don't use this to cover up your body. This is the naked beach.
I know. Did I say this on the podcast already? I found out that people in the Rec Beach Preservation Society and other nudists have a derivative word for non-nudists, which is textiles. God, those textiles are really ruining this place.
Oh my God.
I just find it so funny. It's the funniest pejorative to me. Oh my God.
Oh my God. The clothies. I thought they would call us or something.
Doesn't textiles, isn't that so much better though?
Oh, it's just got such good disgust phonemes.
Yeah.
Textiles. I really like it. That's wicked. I love it. Yeah, now you're making me think of the mover guy that fell in love with me when I was helping Gavin Clarkson move, who asked me if I knew watermelon because of doing comedy.
Right.
We're like, yeah, I know who watermelon is, but it's not from comedy.
It's from marijuana.
It's from weed cookies, or weed brownies, I guess, on the beach. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pot cookies by watermelon.
She's running for city council now.
Is it on a marijuana platform?
Yes.
Is a platform shaped like a weed?
Probably. It's just a green leaf.
We get it. You smoke weed. Your name's Watermelon.
Mary Jean Dunstan.
Is that actually her name?
I believe so. It's so close to Mary Jane that she should have just changed it, and it's a shame that she didn't change
That's
it.
That's very fun.
But yeah, she's running for city council. There's another election coming up. I can talk about...
No, God.
I'm so sorry.
No!
It's a municipal by-election for the school board and one city councilor spot. And... I'm having, like, even though I'm not involved in municipal politics at all, that's what I've been dreaming about most. It's very frustrating. I'm like, shut up, brain.
Oh, man. Yeah. Politics are bad.
Mm-hmm.
We should make them illegal.
Oh, no.
I don't see how that's going to work,
Just
though.
A benevolent monarch? Is that what you're looking at? Or?
And the benevolent monarch's name was Katie Nordgren the whole time. And then I was in charge of everything.
I mean, that sounds pretty good.
It couldn't be any worse than what we already have.
No, just tell us what to do and, like, just be nice
to
each other.
Be cool. You stop that down there.
What about this whole structure of public service and all these people doing all these different jobs and, like, responding to, hey, just be cool.
Just be cool, yo. Like spinning newspaper. All problems solved. Another spinning newspaper. Wait, that was a mistake. That didn't fix anything. You know what fixes everything, though? Kombucha.
Yeah.
We're having it.
Sponsored by Organic Raw Kombucha.
Townsend's Tea Company. Brew Doctor.
Nice. So good. What did you do last weekend, Katie?
Last weekend, while you were sunning your buns, I was winging by on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Just going past, I was looking at you through binoculars, trying to see you. trying to look at them boobies.
Couldn't see them.
Didn't really get a look at anybody's butt, which was too bad, because I'd hoped, you know?
Yeah, there was definitely, Ed said something about, like, oh, yeah, Wreck Beach, I forgot. The, like, wang to boob ratio is, like, definitely skewed in the wang.
I didn't even see a wang where I was. It's so sad. No, my my parents' rich friends and their yacht took us out. Their Grand Banks yacht. They're super nice people. They're not cocks at all. Yeah, so we went to their...
No wangs, no cocks? What kind of vacation day was this?
To their yacht club and got on board at about, I want to say about 9 a.m., 9:30. I was really, really hungover. Like, much more so than I am today. That's for sure. I'd had way too much to drink the night before, watching our friend Gavin Clarkson headline for the first time at the Laugh Lines Comedy Club.
He did a good job.
He did a great job, and I drank way too much and stayed up way too late. But because we have this very strong philosophy in my family that Nordgren's play hurt, which is really specifically about doing things when you're hungover. It's like, you're an idiot, you did a dumb thing, and you have to suffer for it.
Oh, no.
And there's no, like, canceling the party just because you can't be there, so you sort your shit out and turn up.
Yeah, I mean, so like, that's pretty good life lessons, yeah. I guess.
So they made me do that in Disneyland when I was 20, and we went to the Pirates Dinner Adventure the night before, and I drank a shitload of box wine with my dad, and we both had bad hangovers the next day, and she's like, we're fucking going to the Magic Kingdom, bitch. Get out of bed. So I was like, I know this is going to be the case. That's what has to happen. So I just, like, let them know before they pick me up, like, sorry, I'm hungover. The truth was, I was still drunk.
Yeah.
So I went with them, got on the boat, had a McDonald's hash brown and a coffee. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to die now, which is aces. And then 10:45, 11 a.m., my dad pulls out the first bottle of rosé.
Jesus Christ.
And I was like, well, let's just ride this train, as far, I guess, ride the boat, if we're going to keep our metaphor consistent all the way. So, yeah, I just got drunk again, and then I passed out that night at 9:30. Stayed drunk, yeah. It was a lot of fun, and there was a hilarious moment on the boat when we were anchored in False Creek. Like, is it still False Creek when it's, like, right at Science World? So that's where we were, like, right by Legacy Liquor and everything. Because I looked on the Google Maps, like, oh, we're out of white wine. I'm going to maybe have to disembark. Maybe I just, like, swim over in my clothes.
That's trashy as fuck, and I love it.
They had a dinghy. They would have taken me. And so I'm telling a story about something. I don't remember why I was telling the story, but it was about my first boyfriend from high school. And I was saying something about, oh, you know, Jeff went and did this thing. And then my mom pipes up out of nowhere and goes, you know, she lost her virginity to him.
Thanks, Brenda.
It had nothing to do with the story at all. At all. And I just can't figure out why she felt the need to say it, other than the fact that, like, I'm going to blow up your spot and tell them that you're not innocent or something. Because, like, obviously I'm not.
I hear that you might have had some sex before.
I might have done a sex. It was just so, so funny because I think that my mom just wants people to know that her kid fucks. Like,
oh no.
Don't worry, I don't have a nerd. She does it.
Yeah, she may look kind of nerdy, but she
trust me, she's definitely done it. I'm like, yeah, well, don't let them think that I'm still somebody who fucks, that I'm like a cool person who does sex a bunch, because no, everybody knows looking at me that I'm not. So let's not create this fantasy. Anyway, it was super funny, and it was a really fun time, and then they drove me home, and I ordered, very drunkenly, I ordered some Pad CU on the way home and picked it up. Mod it down and then passed out at 9:30.
I mean, sounds pretty great.
It was a good day. And then Sunday, we connected up and had quite the adventure.
It was one of those, you have all the trials and tribulations and it's just a good thing that you were together because otherwise we would have lost our fucking minds collectively.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We tried to go see 50 Shades of Dave.
Yeah.
The lovely show that we talked about with Kyle Carpenter and Nico DiCicco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were super excited, and we gave ourselves lots and lots of time to get down there.
So much time!
And Katie dropped me off so I could get my little fringe pass, and I went in and I got seats for us in the theater, and I put my stuff down on two chairs, and I went downstairs to wait for you to come in. Mm-hmm. And then it got closer and closer and closer to 3. There was just no fucking parking because Fringe, I guess.
There's no parking at all.
And it was a really rainy, rainy-ass day, so I guess more people probably drove than would normally have, like, biked or bused or whatever. So it was just, like, impossible.
Yep.
And so I was just like, Katie, where are you? And, like, the front door guy was just being very, like, strict about,
yep.
you have to, and so I'm like, great, okay, fine, I'm just gonna go upstairs, I'm gonna get my stuff, I'm gonna leave. So then I went up into the theater.
To grab your stuff.
To grab my stuff, and I was, like, in the middle of, like, the second row aisle. Right. So I went and I, like, sat down to pick up my things, and then, like, I was getting up, and they sat two new people, so I took the coat off of my chair next to me, and some woman was just like, you can't save seats here, it's fringe, it's not done, like, why would you do that? And so now there's seats for two more. I'm just like, yep, yep, but I'm getting up to go. And she's like, two more seats over here. And, like, two people sat down immediately. And I'm just like, excuse me, like, I'm trying to go. And then the lights went down and Nico was right there. And I was like, I can't leave. Now I'm trapped. Trapped forever.
Trapped forever. And so
I did watch the show and it was enjoyable and charming and lovely. But just the whole time I was just like, Katie. And she's, like, locked outside, like, in the pouring rain. And, yeah. Oh.
Kyle felt really sad for me. I was like, it's not your fault. It's like, yeah, I know, but that sucks. Like, no, the rules are very clear. It just was a super unfortunate day in terms of getting there. Like, people walk very irresponsibly down there because it's meant to be quite a pedestrian place, but they don't have good transit there. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's very, very hard to get around. Mm-hmm. And people just kept walking in front of my car as I'm trying to, like, get out into where you can drive again. Yeah. And they would just, like, a few people would come by and then a few more people. So I would, like, stop and start and stop and start. And then I just sort of gesticulated wildly at people, like, come on. And a man slammed his hand down on the hood of my car and was like, you need to chill out.
How rude.
And I was just like, I just had to drive away because I was like, I'm going to pull that man's face off of his head. And I'm going to wear it as a mask. And I'm going to go into this friend show and be like, I don't know. What?
With that entitled face, they probably would have let you in.
Yeah, it made me really, really mad. But I was, you know what, in the end, whatever. Once you accept that it's just not going to happen, you're like, fuck, then it's okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was only an hour show, so we met up again, and then...
I took you to the keg.
He took me to the keg, where we had some wine, and I recouped a little, and... Yeah, and then we had to go promote my show that I was running that night, and it was such a bad day. Like, it was just such a grody day. Getting butts in seats in Vancouver, not easy. Unless you're a fringe show about horny old people.
Yeah, because they did a sold-out run. Congratulations, buddies. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think that them being on the podcast really... Oh, yeah. That definitely was more of a favor to us than anything else, I think, so...
But, yeah, we went out to, like, Olympic Village and just tried to bark, and I was just like, it's like I'm on the TV show Crashing. And so I just, like, went up to people and be like, do you like comedy?
I couldn't fucking do it. And you did it all, and I appreciate it very much.
I didn't really realize, because I was just like, oh, no, you'll be fine, come on. And you're just like, no, I can't. I'm like, no, but come on, it's totally easy. And you're like, I can't. I'm like, oh, you seriously are, like, frozen in terror.
You really
right can't.
Yeah, it wasn't, I wouldn't even call it terror. It's just, like,
so
my brain wouldn't let me do it. It's like, I can't approach this person. They will kill me. They will kill me with their eyes and their heart. So that was, yeah. So that was and you know what? It turned out fine. 27 people paid $10 each to go to the show.
That's pretty fucking good,
which is
actually
enough for me to pay everybody a little bit of money and cover my costs. So, you know what?
You can't really ask for much better in Vancouver, to be quite honest.
No, but I'm hoping our next show is going to be even bigger.
Because it's a fucking banger.
Oh, it's such a banger. I really, really put a lot of thought into the lineup, which is shorter. So it means that the people who are there who are really good can go longer and just, like, stretch their legs a bit. Mm-hmm. So to have, you know, we've got Ed Hill and Katie Ellen Humphreys just as feature comics, which is great because they are headliner material for sure. Yeah, and Ed's been voted, like, best comic in Vancouver 3 or 4 times.
Nice. So. I don't actually know him at all.
He's super nice. Cool. Like, he's one of the nicest guys. Certainly one of the nicest pros, nice. I would say.
He's going to be on the next Story Live show at the Rio, so his name is now popping up for me.
Yeah.
I got to be sort of part of the Story Live show.
You're the plant?
I was an audience plant, and my question was, because our friend Joe asked, like, oh, does anyone have any questions, like... We'll just get things warmed up. You have to ask the performers, like, to figure out if their story is true or not. Mm-hmm. And so I asked, like, yeah, I have a question. Are you single? And then she, like, came over and, like, gave me her number and stuff like that. It was very cute. But then the whole, like, rest of the show, everyone was asking the performers, like, everyone was just flirting with all the storytellers and performers being like, are you single? And it's like, we started a trend. And, like, nobody really asked a lot about stories. They were just, like, asking, like, personal questions to everyone, like, oh, When did you first get involved in, because a magician was on there, my friend Travis, when did you first get involved in magic? And it's like, that is not going to help you determine if his story is a lie or not.
I just want to flirt with all of the performers. And they were cute, though,
there was
a
drag queen that did, like, a whole dance number.
Who was it? Do you remember their name?
Connie Smudge, I think?
Okay, yeah.
And an awesome performance. And then, so the whole thing was, like, not even about the story that Connie told. It was just like, where did you learn to do that dance thing? Is that a performance? Like, oh, I've been doing this performance for 17 years.
Who was the liar?
There were two different liars.
Two liars?
There was two rounds. And Erica Sigerson was the liar the one time. It was wonderful. She's outstanding. And then the liar was the open mic winner. So it was Patrick Malia, Connie Smudge, and then this girl... And I forget her name because she was just like a gal that won at the open mic because they often do like an open mic story slam thing. And she won. Nice. And yeah, Patrick Malia told a really like embarrassing story about being like so desired and pursued by Alanis Morissette and that she kept pursuing him all through Ottawa and he kept kind of being a bonehead and not returning her calls or doing anything until finally she started dating somebody else. And he says it's true.
Sure.
Listen to my skepticism hover.
Oh my god.
He used it a lot of, it was a lot of just a vehicle to have a lot of Alanis Morissette puns in the story set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I bet it's about as true as the whole being asked to have a threesome with Matthew Good that I have as a story.
Right.
Which is true, but it's also not that great of a story. It's just like, somebody asked me if I wanted to do it, and I said no.
Yeah.
And that was what happened.
Yeah.
Basically. It's just that the opportunity existed for me at all. So, yeah, I never know. I would love to do that show. I've been offered to do it a couple times, but I can't think of a true story.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could come up with a lie story, but I also really love telling true stories that sound fake, which is really what I want to do.
Yeah.
So we'll see, I guess. But, yeah. Oh, and the other invite you told me to bring up, save it for the podcast, Katie. I got a really, really cool invitation from my friend Chris Katami in Portland, who is running a show called Spec Script right now that is doing quite well, where the concept is that somebody writes a script for a television show that they maybe know things about but haven't actually ever watched before.
Nice.
So they write a whole episode about it without looking up anything about the show, without looking up names, I think. And then a panel of comics and performers do a table read of it,
nice.
Like a live table read. I would assume that I would be the one there reading all of the stage direction and stuff like that. So that would be really fun for me. And the one that I think I would like to do is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Because
I've never seen it, but I've seen a lot of it. So I would be like...
Our friend Lisa has a lot of memes.
Our horrible father uncle is here. So like, why is Jenny DeVito here, you know? I don't know anything about the show. I do know the characters' names.
Yeah.
So I feel like
they're all awful people. So
they're all awful.
Really fun to
and
write.
They all own, they like run a bar or something. Like, these are the things I know, and then they get into trouble all the time.
I just know about here, please have an egg in this trying time.
Please have an egg in this trying time. Yeah. So I think that would be super fun to do. I would really, really like to do it. I don't know when we'll manage to do that, but maybe in December or January or something. So.
And then I would like to come to Portland and interview some Portland peeps.
That would be, we could definitely get some podcast backlog. For sure. We get Caitlin Werhauser on, Portland's funniest person.
Nice.
Uncle Kate on Twitter.
Nice.
I love her.
Nice.
Really, 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 really would love to have her. So, yeah, it'd be really fun to do. We shouldn't announce it probably on here because then border agents will listen to it and be like, you're doing business.
Nobody listens to this.
Nobody listens to this. Like, well, who is it that said that if you really, truly want something to be a secret, you should have it at the end of a 2-hour-long podcast? So, just to ensure that no one will ever hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, or just somewhere in the middle where everyone will, like, skip through.
Where we go to the money zone or whatever if we only had fucking sponsorship.
Who cares?
We'll never have it.
No.
Never.
Never.
This is a labor of love. I can't believe it's been 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's really wild to think about that. Like, there were so many other things going on in my life at that point in time that it just feels like no time has elapsed since then.
Mm-hmm.
And yet...
It's a very exciting.
Yeah, 2 years.
We were going to go to Gibson's and then couldn't really find the time to do it, which is too bad.
We're busy young professionals.
Yeah.
Much more so you than me now. Such a busy bee.
Yeah.
You so tuckered?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully you get used to it soon. You acclimate to things pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You're an adaptable little bean.
Yeah.
Little Capricorn. I just can't stop thinking about that thing
there's,
you sent me.
Yes, another past guest, Anya, is, you know, a hardcore Capricorn Slytherin, as we bonded over, and she put up this, like, just ridiculous meme of, like, a koi fish getting, like, fed kibble or whatever. And it was just, like, Capricorn, like, drink to excess, spend too much money, like...
Spend 45 minutes on makeup and then decide not to leave the house. It's just so specifically about you.
I know.
As a person. And mine, so the image for Pisces was a baby doll doing a fat bong hit.
I mean, that's pretty accurate.
It was like, yeah, I mean, the image alone, but it was like secret drug habit, cries all the time, and all this other stuff.
Yours isn't secret.
Yeah, no, mine's not secret. I can't remember what else was on there, but we should post them up with our... We should post them as our podcast images.
Yes, our archetypes, our avatars.
It's just a little too accurate. It was a little overwhelming. I was like, I feel so fucking seen right
now.
Yeah,
Katie, you wrote to me and just like, oh my God, Chris, they came for your fucking life in this
one. It's like, if I was to create a meme based on your eccentricities, I wouldn't have been that harsh about it. I would not have told that much truth. I wonder what I could have added to mine to make it worse, which would have been like, acts really nice, but secretly a bitch or something like
that. I thought that
was on there. Oh, yeah, probably.
Cleans too much to appear productive, but actually is masking so much.
Oh my God. You're not allowed to come from my life now. No, you are. You're one of the few people who is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to clean everything right now.
Yeah, clean your life.
The seasons have, like, changed over, and so, like, I need all my fall wardrobe now, and I'm just, like, pawing through, like, summer t-shirts and shorts that I can't wear anymore.
Just trying to layer them to get one more week or two out of them? Yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of summer dresses with tights and cardigans.
I have many open front long sleeve cardigans. It's just like, well, that's going over my summer dresses, and that's going to be it. So I had to, I realized... I put a shopping cart together on the Joe Fresh website with 5 items on it and realized, oh no, Joe Fresh, the offshoot of Superstore, a discount grocery store, is too rich for my blood.
I know, they're actually pretty expensive now.
But I mean, it's not expensive, it's just that our income does not match anything, like... So instead of getting 4 items on the fucking Joe Fresh website, I went to... Value Village and spent $85 and got 2 pairs of jeans, 2 pairs of lounge pants, 4 sweaters and a dress.
Oh man, pretty good.
For $85, so not bad.
That's your fall wardrobe?
Yeah, one of my sweaters is it's an oversized caftan. It's a plus size one that I didn't need it to be plus size, but it is, and it's a caftan, so who cares? It is Jennifer Lopez branded.
Oh my fucking God.
Jennifer Lopez.
Why didn't you wear that here?
Because I wore it last night to the cook-off. It was really, it's quite cute. I liked it a lot. Yeah, so that's just what life is.
You wear that shit with
right
leggings, bro?
Yeah, bro, I wear that shit with leggings. I don't know where that's from, but I'm yes-anding you.
I just thought it would be funny.
It was, yeah. I definitely wore it with leggings last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's comfy.
Yes, I upgraded my wardrobe to slightly more professional stuff. I got, like, some new business
blazers
pants.
Blazers and things.
I have blazers. I have 4. And then, yeah.
That's the correct amount of blazers.
Yeah. I have my fun one. It's all floral. And then I have a neutral and a gray and a black.
Everyone's got to have a black blazer.
Yeah. But it's not even, it's got like a shawl front.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
very
yeah.
nice.
Yeah,
very
it's
nice.
All fine.
And like a new purse that fits my laptop in it and like some new business shoes.
Yeah. Just killed it at the Winners.
Yeah.
Just absolutely slayed them. Love Winners, yeah. But kind of hate going there whenever I want something. If ever I go there with an idea of, like, this is what I want to find, I find dick all.
Yeah, I just went in there being like, oh, maybe I'll find a purse, and then I found all these other things instead.
Yeah, I go in like, I'll just look at some stuff, and then I come out with, like, $200 worth of amazing things. which would be fine. If I got a ton of really cool stuff, I wouldn't mind spending the money. But, like, 4 plain-ass items from Joe Fresh. It was just, like, a pin-tuck dress that had, a like, piping on it. It was $40
or something.
Who cares? Like,
yeah.
I just... There's nothing on Forever 21. There's nothing on Old Navy right now. Like, they don't even have the fucking leggings. Like, how do you... You're a plus size Forever 21. You don't have your $7 leggings in stock all the time. You're stupid. Like, I need those. I need 10 pairs of them. I need them now. And you're withholding them from me so that I will buy stupid, expensive, dumb ones with fake wear and tear on them that cost way more money. Like, fuck off.
We should just, like, switch to just Costco clothes.
That was how my whole adolescence was. Mm-hmm. I just dressed in boys' clothes from Costco, and I'm tempted to do it again, honestly.
They have, like, really good, sturdy-looking leggings for pretty cheap.
I'll go there. I might even go there on the way home today, because I gotta get my, my card. Tessa upgraded it for me, so I gotta go in and get my new ID.
Get some giant Kirkland brand boxes of Advil or whatever.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say giant Kirkland boxers. So I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? I'll just go around in boxer shorts for the rest of my life.
Boxer shorts with leggings underneath. It's a look.
It's definitely a look. You look like something if you do that.
And maybe a hoodie sweater. I basically wore that to class. Like
what you're describing is basically what the Unabomber wears.
I take it back.
It's okay. I do want people to quake in fear when they see me, so that would make a lot of sense. I would like to go to Costco and just get all of my clothing there, because I just can't understand how frustrating it's gotten to just buy clothing retail. Mm-hmm. It was already bad, and it's just getting worse.
I'm just shaking our heads silently.
Just silently shaking our heads, just filling up this beautiful space.
Should we take a little break?
Let's take a little break.
We're back.
We still suck, though.
Yeah.
We're very terrible today. It's sort of awful, isn't it?
A little bit.
You ate a hot dog, and now you're so tired.
I know. That's whatever. Food.
That's an insomnia cure, if ever I've heard one.
Yeah. It was
eat a hot dog.
It was a veggie dog, too, so it's just like a...
Wheat on a wheat bun?
Yeah, like a gross protein tube that just was the catalyst, or not even catalyst at all. It was not exciting enough to be a catalyst whatsoever. It was just a toppings delivery method. So I ate a lot of...
Condiment.
Pickle and onions.
Condiment.
Yeah.
Based meal. Mm-hmm. That's most of my meals. I get very excited about good condiments, but I guess they have to shine even more if your actual hot dog is just wheat tube.
Yeah.
Wheat meat. Just a little bit of wheat meat.
That's actually very clever.
Thank you.
That someone could call it that.
I love rhymes.
Because, like, there's you got your street meat, mm-hmm. but then you could have your street wheat meat.
I need some wheat meat,
wheat
please.
Street meat.
Yeah, and got any wheat meat? It sounds like what the Roadrunner would order. What would you like?
Wheat meat. What? Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck me. Fuck me.
Oh,
so,
my God.
At the break, we were grousing about the fact that we have plenty to talk about, but we just can't talk about it.
Yeah, we're very much not allowed to talk about things.
Our jobs. We can't talk about our jobs anymore. Not that we've been reprimanded, but now we're just realizing, like, oh, we have real serious jobs and we can't.
I haven't been reprimanded, but I've been warned.
Yeah. That everything you do,
is
I do it for you. No.
I work for Brian Adams now. Yeah. It's out. The secret's out.
The secret's out. I'm Brian Adams' personal assistant.
It's Brian Adams on the phone.
Oh, I have to go. Hello, Brian Adams.
Brian Adams on the phone.
How are you, Brian Adams? Do you want me to pick up your dry cleaning, Brian Adams? Dryan Adams? Sorry, that's stupid. I'm a bad personal assistant, Mr. Brian Adams.
I love it.
So, yeah, I can't talk about nonsense at my work. You can't talk about cool scandals and stuff. Like, it just isn't possible.
Nope. And there's just so many things that, like, it's basically taken over my whole life, and I have no free time for the last
week. I guess you can say that you created a new bullet journal.
I sure did. It was amazing.
For any of various and sundry freedom of information requests that are made of you.
Yes.
Yeah, that was an exciting thing that we also did last weekend, was that we went shopping for a journal for you.
Fuck.
I liked it. I loved watching you puzzle through 30 different journals till you found the right one.
Yay. It's white.
It's white. It's plain white.
I know. It's exactly the same as the one that I had before, except it's white.
And you took a good long time to be sure that was what you wanted. I had a good time. I haven't been in a bookstore in forever.
Yeah,
so,
I just looked around at really good stationery.
No, I want a journal.
I've hooked so many fucking people on bullet journal stuff, Katie. Like I was talking to this gal yesterday who's like, oh yeah, ever since you showed me that bullet journal, I decided to do something like that too. So then she opened hers up and she's got this like 5-page spread of like books that I need to read. You
know?
And, like, then talking to some coworkers, we have a temporary coworker that's filling in. And we were like, oh yeah, we organize our books kind of like this, bullet journal style. She's like, wow, that's so cool. So she like researched bullet journals, and the next day like came back with her notebook all set up that way
too.
Oh
my God, you're a gateway drug.
I know, it's really fun.
It's bullet journaling. Organization.
I know. That's you. I'm like, just follow my Instagram and see it. Totally.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So now I've got like my personal journal is a riot of color.
A riot of color. And you have monochromatic elegance.
For my work one. Yes. It's extremely minimalist. Yeah. I did decide to allow myself one color, so it's shades of gray and then bright yellow pops. That looks really good.
Perfect.
It looks so good.
That's so very you.
I know.
I love it.
I know.
It's great.
So that's making me very happy.
Yeah. You gotta find the things that you can have lots of control over, and then that makes it a little bit easier to deal with, like...
Yeah, I'll just make myself look extremely anal and uptight by making this tiny little perfect journal.
Totally. Yeah, I've definitely dealt with a bit of nonsense at work lately, and like I said, can't really talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I just don't care. Like, everything's all right. Yeah. But it's been interesting to kind of keep being in positions where I have to talk to people who have, like, done things that endanger my job in some ways. And so, like, that's fun. But I ultimately just don't care. I there are moments where I'm very frustrated and other times that I'm just like, whatever, you know, whatever. It's all fine. It's all going to be okay eventually. So... Mm-hmm. But it's definitely taught me some patience and zen.
I know. And I was just like, oh, Katie, it looks like you might have to start focusing on your creative output again.
No, I don't want to. I'm having trouble with that, too. So that was the other point that I wanted to go into.
I was trying to do a flawless segue, Katie.
You were beautiful, and then I'm exposing it for, like, the radio...
The artifice.
The radioactive technology that I am.
Podcast phonies.
Showing the guts of this. Yeah, so... I like I've said before on the podcast, I've finished the pilot script. It's been rewritten several times for Ghost House, and I cannot bring myself to pitch it to who I want to pitch it to. I haven't sent it to anybody who's ever done any writing for TV to look at, even though this woman, Diana Francis, has offered to, like, soft mentor me. I still feel like it's way too much to ask for her to look at the script.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. You gotta fucking take that up.
I know.
Having a mentor is fucking the best thing ever.
I know, but she's probably so busy, and maybe she would just said it because she was being nice or something.
Well, then
you
can do the thing, and then she can say, oh, I'm too busy right now.
Yeah, I know, but so what if she says that and I die? What if she says that to me and I die? Like, that's the whole thing. Jordan's been, who's my co-writer, has been not hassling me, but just very gently hassling me. Like, come on, write, and come on, like, let people look at it so that we can proceed. He really wants to film it. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, no, there's, like, 10 things that have to happen first before I'm comfortable with that.
Oh, no.
Just so dumb.
Get over it.
Yeah, I know. It's self-sabotage. That's all it is because, like, God forbid someone says something that I've done isn't totally perfect, especially when it's something that's creative, like, that isn't just autobiographical. Because if you write something autobiographical and perform it, nobody's allowed to say it sucks because it's your life.
I mean...
They can think that it sucks, but they can't say it.
People say that about, like, one-person shows all the time.
It's true, but those people went and put it out there, which is so scary. So, I'm sure I'll get over it, but it's like barking. I just couldn't do it, and it's this whole thing of, like, because it's my show. Mm-hmm. And this is my idea, and even though a bunch of people have said it's really cool, and I've started to see other ideas crop up with other comics who are... you know, creating things for StoryHive through
Telus. Right, and then you're like, oh no, it's kind of similar. It's like, that just means the universe knocking on your door being like, look, if you don't do it, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Oh, get out of here, Liz Gilbert.
I know.
Ugh, this big magic's going to leave me if I'm not careful.
That's true, though. Even Tom Waits agrees. That's like his whole writing philosophy.
That man lives in a junkyard, Chris.
I know, but you love Tom Waits.
He makes love to old pianos. These are lies that I'm telling about Tom Waits. I assume he lives in a very nice house with his wife.
Mm-hmm. Kathleen.
Kathleen. Who is a piano? I've named Kathleen. The piano is my wife. Oh, it's a silly.
Oh, man. But so, yeah, like, big magic it.
I got a big magic hit, but I just hate it. I like to write. I really do. I love having ideas, and I love talking about them with people, but actually trying to sell myself is so hard.
Yeah, that's annoying. There's got to be some other way to, like, put it out there, but...
I need to hire someone who looks exactly like me to be my hype man and be like, no, I wrote this. It's great. Ha!
Or, I guess, those things are also called agents, and they don't have to necessarily look like you, but you could, like...
Well, I mean, I assume if I had an agent, I'd have to pay them.
Well, yes.
I couldn't just, like, make my own clone and then press gang her into doing what I'm asking here.
Yeah,
like,
you have...
prestige style.
You have no control over your clone's autonomy.
Fuck, I do not know how genetics works.
I mean, you could try, but isn't that just indentured servitude?
Yeah.
Because it's yourself, and I mean, you already beat yourself up enough, so why not?
God. Like, I'm gonna go to jail for beating myself up so much.
Yeah, you have an externalized punching bag instead that you can say mean things to.
Christ, that makes it sound so dark, dude. You're making me have realizations on a Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
No, it's not a good thing.
Oh, man. I just want to be your agent. Listen here, see? I've got
listen
this
here,
hot,
see?
Hot ticket. Hot ticket item.
I got a blazer on, so you're going to listen to me.
You have four blazers.
I'm wearing four blazers right now. I'm so overheated. Because I'm fired up about
this project.
Agenting. I know what words are.
So you should totally just do that thing.
Yeah, but I am intimidated to do it for a variety of reasons, not least of all that one of the best shows on television has just come back.
Ah, yes.
Yes. The Good Place has returned.
It's so good.
I'm so relieved they got another season.
Me too.
Because I was worried that they might not because they were so high concept and weird. But I started rewatching the first season with a friend again, with Janessa, because she needed to see it, and she is loving it.
Mm-hmm, and I'm rewatching it with Ed, and he's just like, I didn't think, because I'm like, oh, it's a sitcom, and he's kind of like, oh, like, and the first couple episodes, he's like, oh, I get it, we're going to just see blah, blah, and now as it goes, like, he has been, like, bursting out laughing. There's so many little throwaway jokes that are just
it's
so brilliant.
So, like, you have to, you can't zoom out on it, you have to really zoom in, and you'll see, like, even when there's text on the walls, like, the gag that they have where who was right, like, what religion was right about the afterlife, like, all of them are about 2% right, give or take. The closest anyone ever got was this teenager in Calgary one night on mushrooms who got it about 92% correct. It's like Dougie McFarlane or something like
Doug
that.
Doug Forsythe.
Doug Forsythe.
And
there's
just a portrait of him on the wall.
He just looks like my dad's friend from the 70s.
I know,
or something.
And then in the newest season, it's like, oh yeah, that portrait's still there.
Yeah. I love small jokes that production teams put into things, and Good Place is so good at that, and BoJack Horseman is so good at,
like,
that.
Every t-shirt that a character wears has some kind of a weird in-joke on it,
my
or, like, a poster
on the wall.
My fucking
favorite thing is absolutely every time there is a piece of something that had to be dictated, like, whether it is a banner or a cake or a t-shirt,
yes.
It always has the directive written down, too, like, happy birthday, Diane, and use a pretty font. Or happy congratulations, Diana, Mr. Peanut Butter is one word. There was
another one too that was like a congratulations something and then if not available, use something else.
Yeah. There's just something about it. It's so, so good. And all of the little jokes that go into posters in the background is so... So I see all of this amazing stuff that's being made because there's so much television right now. You could argue there's too much television right now.
I guess Bob's Burgers does a lot of those too, where it's like every pun is like always written into things.
Yep. I just love the joviality of wordplay in comedy. Like when you can get a goofy little bit in somewhere when it's not even the main bit. Mm-hmm. But you know someone's so happy they got their bit in. I guess it's just a little bit like meta enjoyment of it. But it's also just, I love the artistry. And I love being made to laugh. Mm-hmm. You and I were talking about this last weekend when we were driving around all over Hell's Half Acre. But like it's harder for us to laugh at taped comedy now. Mm-hmm. That we both, kind of when we listen to Put Your Hands Together or something like that. Like we know when it's good and it's funny and we laugh. But it's harder to laugh. Mm-hmm. Like to see it live is a little bit easier, I find, because you're just like plugged in
and you can let yourself go and you're not also doing something else at the same time, or like you can experience it with the group of people. I know this has been said all the time, but it's like, you know, you're all in it together and then maybe the comedian says something that's like unexpected or interesting
or
and
you're a little different
and you're all there and you're experiencing it together and you get kind of carried away in the collective like joy of that. It's a lot easier to really appreciate it.
It's unfortunate, though, that the more I see of things that are good, the more I feel inspired to make things, but the less confident I feel in actually putting those things out into the world. With stand-up, I don't find it so difficult because when I go and do stand-up, it's very rarely being videotaped or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very rarely being recorded. But even when I, you know, post something I've written, then I will read back over it and find flaw in it and right. that kind of stuff. And when I do a stand-up set that isn't good, I just let it go.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying, like, about autobiographical versus, like, sort of fictional creative.
Yeah.
Your stand-up is largely autobiographical, yep. so that's a little bit easier also to, like, put out there. And yeah. just, like, well, you can't, like, it's not...
Nobody can say it's a stupid idea because it happened.
Yeah, it's not wrong or dumb or anything. Yeah. It's like, no, that happened in my life, yeah. so whatever. So,
and I get to talk about it because it was my experience, so mm-hmm. I own that experience. But when it comes to just making something, then there's this possibility that I've copied somebody else without meaning to, mm-hmm. or that what I'm doing is derivative, that it doesn't stand out, that if someone reads it, they're like, this doesn't need to be made.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm worried about getting back as feedback, because I have put a lot of effort into this one thing, and I'm hedging my bets a bit about putting more effort into it.
Mm.
So that makes me nervous. I have so much good encouragement. I have no reason to have this kind of self-doubt. But it's just the idea that if I'm stupid, if it's stupid or if it's not good, then I'm not lovable or something like that.
Oh,
like
man, that's
you
so
pack
harsh.
So much into yeah. there, because it's like so much of what I am is tied up in what I do, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And that's nobody else putting that on me. It's me putting it on myself. Mm-hmm. So this idea that, like, I have to be producing, that I have to be active, that I have to be just not doing something. Mm-hmm. But that if I'm doing something that's creative, it has to be good enough to justify the fact that it's not in other ways helpful.
Oh, ugh.
Yeah.
No, that sucks.
Yeah, to just justify the fact that I spent this much time on it, it has to be good.
But what
it
about
can't
the...
just be a learning experience or
well,
something.
Well, yeah, like, what about the, yeah, the joy that you get out of creating the thing? Yeah, what about the lessons that you take away from it all? It's just like that, yeah.
And in the end, the love you take.
What about the journey that you go on? The whole process.
My feet hurt.
Well, we are going to go get foot massages after this.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully the big feet is open. Mm-hmm. Can take us on and make us feel like better people.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to take care of things.
Aww, well, I didn't realize that it was that much of a roadblock for you right now in terms of the...
It's stupid. All I need to do is just get over it. Like, mm-hmm. I could spend a million years processing, or I could just send the fucking script to Diana, or I could send the fucking script to Graham Clark, or I could send the fucking script to any number of people who could play a role and just might have an opinion on
mm-hmm.
it. Just to get some feedback. But I'm being a chicken shit about it, so if I just bite the fucking bullet and do it,
yeah.
then it'll be done.
Yep.
Like, with so many things, like calling to order sushi or something like that. Just do it, and then it's done, and then you don't have to worry about doing it.
Yeah, or, like, our Fringe experience where it was just like, okay, I've just accepted that I'm not getting into this play. Now I can move on and do something else.
Yep.
So, like, you just have to do it, and you know what? The worst thing that could happen is that the person might say, this is really dumb, and I hate it, and why would you even bring this to me?
Yeah. Which is not likely for anyone to say. They might be like, it needs work or something like that.
Yeah, or sorry, I'm not interested in doing that.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, okay, so now I know, and now I can move on and do something else. You
yeah.
will not die.
Yeah, no, I won't,
and,
but I'm
and their respect for you will not lower. In fact, it might even raise, even if they're not interested, because they'll be like, wow, that was really cool that somebody thought of me enough to, like, do this thing.
And... you're making so much sense.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Just do it, baby.
I'm sorry to say, but that Nike slogan is still very, very applicable across the board. But just fucking, just do it. Just do it.
Isn't that what we started this whole C. Hags podcast about?
Fuck off!
2 years ago?
Shut up!
And you said that if we say it on the podcast, you have to do it.
Ugh.
It's a binding contract.
Okay, fine.
We've got a couple of nice guests lined up, but in a month, let's check in about this project and see if you've done
it. All right, I'll make sure that
things.
It gets to at least 3 people by then. That's...
Yeah.
I'm writing it down.
Yes.
I will send the Ghost House pilot to 3 people.
Nice.
Not necessarily saying what 3 people they're going to be, but
no,
3 people.
That's better than what
no
you...
No people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yay. That's a good resolution.
Yeah. How are we doing for time here?
We're almost done.
Fine. Great. Fuck it. Let's go get our feet rubbed.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like this is not a bad little episode.
Yeah.
Or it might be very bad. Tell us. The Sea Hags mailbag.
Don't tell us
if you hated it.
Yeah.
Tell us that you love us.
And
then we're cute.
Can you relate to this journey of creative struggle? I would be interested to know how many people go through this kind of same thing, because I don't.
Yeah, you're not really afraid of rejection.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. Because, like, it won't kill you.
Mm-mm.
It truly won't.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times when you get rejected, it turns out that that was actually a really good thing.
Yeah.
So,
oh, big time.
Oh, big time.
Oh, big time.
Oh, the biggest time.
Yeah, so then yeah. It's like, then you can figure out some other new place to focus all of that good energy that you have and all those fun ideas mm-hmm. and all that, like, all that beautiful golden light you have inside you.
You would think that I actually loved being in a holding pattern, that I just, like, enjoy a lack of resolution based on how often I stew at that intersection.
Mm.
What a fucking idiot I am. Doing pretty lovable, so let's just move on and keep going.
Yeah, okay.
I get our feet rubbed.
I hope everyone has a really good week coming up, and yeah. We'll see you next week.
Fucking kick out the jams.
Bye.
Bye.